talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 162. I've got Will and Henry here with me.
Hello. Hello.
How's it going, boys?
Good.
Pretty good. Haven't been doing that much lately, but
tomorrow is the last day of summer vacation.
It's true.
We're recording this on a Tuesday night. Tomorrow is Wednesday, and Thursday you go back to school.
It kind of feels like it. I feel like my brain is starting to go back into school mode, but like
I have a theory. My theory is that you guys actually secretly want school to start.
Yeah, a little bit.
You've kind of got the end of the summer blahs.
I kind of feel like time like flows differently when you're in the summer, like because you're not on a schedule and stuff. Like, I don't know, like you kind of like lose track of what day it is or really like just what time it is or whatever.
But
like it just feels different.
But specifically this summer, everyone's been saying that went by like so fast.
Yeah.
It's gone by fast and slow to me. Like going to Japan feels like a long time ago, but
that's
it also kind of feels
true.
Like it never happened. It also kind of feels like summer just never happened though.
But it feels like Japan was a long time ago, and so is our family reunion. But other than that, it still feels like it's like the beginning of July for me, at least. Maybe it's because of the weather.
So I think you're right, William. I think your life is kind of, it depends, the pace of your life depends on how many things are going on in your life. Mm-hmm. So if there's not much going on, it feels different. And it's weird how like when you're a kid, until you become like a full-blown adult with a job, your life is kind of marked by summer vacations. Like every summer you have a summer vacation and then it's kind of like everything starts over again when the summer vacation ends.
Yeah.
I still remember like even when I was in law school, I had summer vacation and I had summer jobs during law school, but it was still like, you know, I went somewhere, I did something different, then I went back to school. And I definitely remember the feeling I had when I started my job at the law firm as a lawyer. Like I started like in May or June, like right out of law school. I didn't take any break at all. And I remember sitting behind my desk and thinking, oh no, I'm not going to get a summer vacation. I'm never going to get a summer vacation. Not just this year, but ever again.
Oh,
I will never have a summer vacation again.
Yeah.
And it was really depressing. That was like the summer of 1999, so that was 20 years ago, but I still remember that feeling of, oh, man.
Yeah.
So enjoy it while you can. Tomorrow, the last day of summer vacation.
Yeah.
You have any plans?
You
get to go to the dentist. That's
oh,
exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. There's like a 85% chance that I have multiple cavities. So like right after I got my sealants in, like a few months ago, like just a couple days later, I like felt a crunch and something white came out of my tooth.
Mm.
I was like, that's probably my sealant.
You've probably been like going to sleep with lollipops in your mouth too, huh?
Yeah, I mean, apparently I grind like crazy.
Yeah,
I used
that
to
a
grind
bit
like
too.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think lots of people in our family have had issues with grinding their teeth. It's not like I grind down to the jaw, but I do. I've been told that before, like by my dentist, is like, you need to stop.
I kind of have a habit of, like, I do a lot of just, like, kind of, like, drum tapping with my hands. That's how mom says they should totally play the drums. But, like, I have a really bad habit of sometimes doing that, like, with my teeth. And, like, kind of clenching my teeth to a rhythm.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I'm, like, the only person who does that, but, like,
I do it, too.
Like,
yeah.
You tap your teeth?
Yeah. Or, like, I feel like, I know this is kind of a bad thing to do, but I feel like there's, like, a lot of different, like, different percussion noises they can make with
yeah.
your teeth.
I think actually what I do at night, like while I'm asleep, is not so much grinding your teeth as my dentist said, it's clenching your teeth.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that before. Like when I'm having stress dreams, I'll wake up and my jaw is just kind of like all clenched up and kind of sore.
Yeah.
It's not good. Don't do it. Just try to relax.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten a cavity filled in and like they put you on that drug that like make it so that you can't feel your lips and, like, you bite your lip without knowing it and then, like, your lip feels all sore?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten a cavity filled in yet, so.
Oh, really?
I have had a couple cavities, but those were on baby teeth right before they fell out.
Okay.
So
tomorrow is the last day of summer and then you go back to school. Are you guys Are you kind of looking forward to going back to school?
I'm fairly excited for it, actually.
You both have your schedules. I think, finally. Henry, you've got an interesting schedule because unlike everyone else in the family, besides mom and dad didn't learn how to play any music at all, but everybody else in the family did orchestra. You start out doing band, but you are going to be in both orchestra and band this year. Oh, is there anyone else in your school that's going to do both orchestra and band?
No, but probably not. And so I'm going to be playing cello this year because I started that a couple months ago. And when I went in like a couple weeks ago to play for our orchestra teacher, we also went to a counselor's office because like certain people have certain counselors assigned to them that like adjust their schedule like based on their last name. And that counselor already had my schedule up because my schedule is already so chaotic. Because
it was kind of weird. Because yeah. She's not used to finding places for orchestra and band.
Well, yeah, but she already had it up because she was trying to figure out like if I could be in choir, which I never ended up being in choir, and also Spanish and also GT and algebra and band. And it just all...
It just got complicated.
Yeah. It's been a busy year for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But
so you've only been playing the cello. You just started this summer. You've only been playing it for like 6 weeks. So mom told me that like you're not going to be in the very beginning orchestra, even though you're a beginning cellist. You're going to be like in the next orchestra up. And I think it had to do with like your schedule or something.
Actually, I was going to be in... So there's four orchestras right now, including beginner. First you go into beginner, then you get into the other three orchestras. Out of those three, I was going to be in the lowest, but that didn't work out with my schedule. And so I'm doing the second highest orchestra, and it might be a bit of a stretch, but...
The second highest one. Oh, I didn't realize that. So it's like the third from the bottom or second from the top, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
I forgot how they added an orchestra.
Yeah. So are you looking forward to that? It's going to be kind of weird. Yeah, lots and lots of music in your daily schedule.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of nice in a way because you... Well, you'll have instrument practice, but you won't have, like, homework.
You know... Mm-hmm.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So, I was kind of stupid, and I never took any language classes in 7th, 8th, or 9th grade. So, I'm taking...
You never took a foreign language?
Yeah, we have to take, like, 2 years of it. So, I'm taking my first year of Spanish this year, and Henry's taking Spanish, too, as his third elective.
Yeah.
So, we can, like, both study Spanish together.
That'll be good. You can practice with each other.
Yeah. I was actually going to replace Spanish with orchestra... But then choir didn't work out with my schedule, so I sort of, like, replaced choir with Spanish after replacing orchestra with Spanish, or Spanish with orchestra. So now I have band, Spanish, and orchestra.
I think you won't regret taking Spanish in 8th grade.
Yeah.
So what about you, William? What classes are you looking forward to?
So, I mean, top orchestra. I mean, that's always going to be fun. We get to, like, sometimes, like, tour elementary schools, too, which...
Yeah, I think we talked about that last time you were on the podcast, so that'll be fun.
I did that in 7th and 8th grade.
Any other classes besides orchestra you're looking forward to?
I'll be in varsity choir. I've already talked about how the old choir director's coming back.
Yep.
Which, that's kind of exciting.
So, other than music classes, what are you taking? Anything fun?
I'm taking computer science. I kind of feel like when I signed up for that, I just, like, signed up for it just because it was, like, technology and technology good. But, like, I don't know. That could be kind of fun.
You're going to learn, like, coding and stuff?
Yeah. I am not quite as into coding as I used to be, but that still could be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other elective... Oh, yeah, my other elective is Spanish, which I've heard that Spanish is, like, always going to be really hard, but it can be, like, extra hard depending on the teacher. So I really hope I don't get the, like, kind of crazy teacher. Well, not, like, crazy, but, like, apparently she's kind of nice, but she also, like... Like, really grades harshly. So, I really hope I get a good teacher for that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know which teachers are which.
Do you know who your teacher is? You don't know?
I could probably look it up, but, like, I don't know which teachers are which, so.
So, you also did something today for the first time ever. Kind of a momentous occasion. You drove a car for the first time.
Yes, kind of.
Kind of. So, well, you actually drove the car, but you didn't drive it, like, on the streets and stuff.
Yeah, so, Mom, just a couple hours ago, actually, Mom took me to... the parking lot of our church, because, like, we're going to do the parking lot to our school, but there's a whole bunch of cars there for some reason.
Probably because they're getting ready for school to start.
Oh, yeah, I guess. That didn't occur to me. But, so I got to, like, I got to practice, like, parking which that was a bit hard. And also just like driving a straight line and like keeping my foot off the pedal. We only barely touched on the accelerator. Literally touched on it. But
you know what? I still remember my driving instructor. One of the things he told me, and this was actually really good advice, is if you think about like the brake pedal and the gas pedal as being like on top of a water balloon.
Oh, yeah.
So like you don't stomp on it. You just kind of gently push on it. So you don't want to break the water balloon.
That's good advice.
So you kind of feel for it. And then once you get better at driving a car, you'll have a better feel for like exactly where the brake catches or how much gas you need to give it. But if you think about that at first, like instead of just stomping on it, you just kind of gently ease down on it. So it's like you're pushing on a water balloon and you're making it flatten, but you're not breaking it.
Okay.
Or like I do. That's a good way to think about it.
Or trying to squash Silly Putty. Like, you have to do it slowly.
I do feel like I could
I like water balloon better, because Silly Putty, it doesn't matter if you squash it or not.
Just from, like, the, like, couple of hours that I tried today, I kind of feel like I could get used to driving a lot more quickly than I thought I could.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought That's it would take good. Me, like, forever, but it does seem slightly easier to get used to than
a
I thought
A little less intimidating now.
Yeah, I will say, like, it's going to take me a bit to get used to, like, I don't know if, like, people my age can relate to this, but, like, holding the steering wheel feels really weird at first.
Yeah,
it like,
does.
It always, like,
you gotta get used to it.
Like, no matter how I hold it, it always feels like I'm holding it wrong. It's kind of weird.
I think it'll be a lot easier, too, when you start driving. You were driving the Honda Odyssey, which is, like, a big minivan. And you start driving the Honda Fit, which is the car I drive mostly, and it's a lot smaller. It's a lot easier to drive and move around and steer. Than the big van. It's just easier to tell kind of like where you are in that car.
Yeah, we use the Odyssey just because like it's always home, so I get to.
Yeah,
because
I had my car at work when you were doing it.
It's more available.
But so that's a good thing to do.
It was kind of fun.
And I think you went and got your driver's permit, but you don't actually have it in your hand yet, right? It hasn't come in the mail yet?
Yeah. So.
Do you want to see what the picture looks like?
Sure. I already know, like, what my face looks like.
Oh, really? Did they show you the picture?
At
the driver's
license
office?
Yeah.
Are you happy with it?
I don't know. Mostly.
Like, mostly, people are not happy with the driver's license pictures. Sometimes you get a good one, for the most part. It's just not a good picture.
I just kept, like, a neutral face. I do look, like, a little bit too, like, I don't know, like, kind of like...
Like a mugshot?
Like, mean-faced. Yeah. A little bit too mugshot-y. Like, just a little bit, but... I was kind of surprised by, like, whenever I look at pictures of myself, I'm always kind of surprised by, like, again, I'm guessing people my age can kind of relate to this, but, like, how much I kind of matured, like, in my face. Like, it's always, like, a weird thing to look at.
What else is going on? Elizabeth was here over the weekend, and you guys watched a cartoon show on Cartoon Network. I don't know what it's called, but you guys are going to tell me about it.
So, okay. So, in 2016, there was a pilot for a TV show called Infinity Train. And, like, just from the pilot, it was a really, really good pilot and got, like, millions of views on YouTube. And everyone got super excited for it and started making theories about it and stuff. And it didn't come out until the summer of 2019. So, there was a really, really long wait for it.
Wait. This is the summer of 2019.
It is. Yep. And it came out a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
It ended up being a miniseries, but they're actually going to make more seasons of the miniseries later.
You know, they'll just do like another, it's like a limited run series, but they'll do other series.
Yeah, they do that sometimes on Cartoon Network where they'll have like shows that are like mini series, but like kind of seasonally. Like they'll like do another season like every year.
Yeah. Kind of like Stranger Things.
So it's like a 10 episode mini series that like kind of tells a complete story just from season one, but, and they only reveal that like there's another season like in this like bumper at the end. But there's like two episodes released every day. Each one's like 11 minutes long.
Oh, so they're just short.
Well, no, like each episode is 11 minutes long.
Right.
Or at least two a day.
So they're like shorter than a regular TV show. It's just kind of,
yeah.
I mean, it's average length for like a Cartoon Network show, but.
Mm-hmm. 10 minutes like, is the average length?
Yeah.
That's they're not like, half hour shows usually?
Well, okay, like half hour. When like something's like half hour, that means two episodes plus ads. So like an episode of SpongeBob would be like 11 minutes.
But like a pair I never really ones. Thought about that way.
Yeah.
I thought an episode of SpongeBob was just a half an hour, but so there are like two episodes within the half hour?
Yeah, that's why like the Office episodes are 20 minutes because they're like a half hour slot. But anyway, so it's about...
I think they're a little more. They're probably like 24 minutes or something.
Usually 21 on Netflix. But anyway, so it's about It's about a girl named Tulip who's like this 13-year-old who like figures out that she can't go to coding camp because like her parents are divorced and like they had some sort of weird
she
schedule
can't go
thing.
To what kind of camp?
Coding camp.
Coding like computers like we were talking about a minute ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like her divorced parents had some sort of like schedule weird thing. And she like runs off and finds this like thing called the Infinity Train. And like on each train, like each car on the train is like an entirely different world.
So
and
is it so, kind like, of a fantasy show?
Kind of. It's kind of like sci-fi-y. Like it's kind of surreal.
Yeah, it's more sci-fi.
Does it take place today or like in some
like
in the
today.
Future?
Like today. It's like this mystery, like this mysterious train. And each episode is them like solving a different problem on each car. And then the last episode, they finally get to the engine and have this like final battle.
Is it kind of surreal or is it?
Kind of. It's like, it's sort kind of like absurdist. Yeah. Like it kind of like starts to like become self-aware and starts to like kind of make fun of how weird it is later. But like, it's kind of like if anyone ever saw like the miniseries a few years back called Over the Garden Wall, which was this like miniseries that was kind of supposed to be like this like 40s style, like all like painted backgrounds story about someone who like goes into
hand-drawn animation from like early days of animation.
So he goes into this like mythical land of like there's like talking frogs, stuff like that. Really, really good TV show. Mm-hmm. And it had this like really creepy villain. But it's kind of in that style. There's like an overarching plot. There's like the main characters are Tulip, a corgi from this corgi car of like there's a car where like everyone there is just talking corgis. And like the ruler, Corgi Atticus, becomes like one of the companions on Tulip's journey. I think Atticus might be like my favorite character in the entire show.
Yeah.
He like he talks like a like very bold human, but like he still has like a whole bunch of like dog-like attributes. A lot of times I'll have trouble like getting him to the next car because they'll be like...
He'll be at a door.
Yeah, they'll like do the thing where like you're trying to get dogs inside and you have to like encourage them a bunch.
Yeah.
It can get like kind of creepy at times. It can get kind of sad at times. It can also be hilarious at times.
It sounds interesting. I'll have to maybe watch a little bit of it.
Yeah, and the third main character is this robot ball called 1-1. It's sort of one robot, but also two robots that can connect. And one of the robots is like a super optimistic one. The other one's a super pessimistic one. So... But
yeah, they're kind of like one person. They're kind of like one character, but two characters at the same time.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. Probably better than it sounds. I kind of feel
it
like
it sounds good. It sounds like it's hard to describe without actually watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would really recommend it. It's not quite as good as Over the Garden Wall, but it is like it
really
fills its shoes.
Yeah.
Me and Henry like had our arms up and like started cheering when we figured out there would be a second season at the very end.
So you liked it?
You watched the whole thing. Yeah.
Probably pretty quickly since every episode was just 10 minutes. And then there were 10 episodes.
Yeah. Well, there's like two episodes released today.
By my math, that's 100 minutes.
Yeah. So it's like, I guess altogether, it's like movie length technically.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like a
Elizabeth,
short movie.
Elizabeth also really liked it.
Yeah.
I would really recommend watching it.
Sounds good. Let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
William, today is a very special day for you. Did you know this?
Maybe.
It's a special day for you, and you're the only one in our family that this is a special day for.
Okay. Does it have to do with, like, my name?
Nope. It is.
Does it have to do with him being a 10th grader?
Left-handed.
International Left-Handers Day.
Yeah.
It is the 24 hours that celebrate those who rely on their left hand.
Okay. Have we ever talked about me being left-handed on the podcast before?
I don't know, but we're going to talk about it now.
I'm very oppressed.
Yes. The day was started. It is on August 13th of every year. And it was started in 1976 and founded by D.R. Campbell, founder of the Left-Handers International, Inc. The Left-Handers Day Club declared it official in 1997.
Do only left-handers work there?
Finally, left-handed people get representation.
Yes. This article from Newsweek says, the day itself is used for left-handers to be loud and proud about their uniqueness. as opposed to the past when Southern lefties were viewed with suspicion. Did you know that the word sinister was used, is derived from the same word as left-handed?
Oh, wow. I'm deeply
offended. It's had negative connotations. There was a news story in 2015 that as recently as then, a four-year-old boy was sent home from school with a letter saying how left-handedness is often associated with evil and the devil.
Wait, what?
The thing is, I feel like...
his teacher had also written to his mother that being left-handed was unlucky.
I feel like you could find the most, like, irrelevant minority ever, like, someone who has a scar on their eyebrow. And, like, there has to be, like, some report of people who... like, get sent home or something
people
for that.
People have been mistreated over the centuries for being left-handed. It's been... people who are right-handed have been suspicious of left-handers.
Like, you can be mistreated for anything, really. But...
true.
That being said, left-handed people are extremely oppressed, and I am... this makes me very happy that are finally doing good in the world.
Do you know how many... what percentage of people in the world are left-handed?
10%, I'm pretty sure.
15?
William was closer. Of course, he's the expert in this area. It's 11%. 11% of the world's population is left-handed. And researchers at Northwestern University studied what causes left-handedness. Like, why only 11% of the population favors their left hand. And they said it has to do with social behavior and competitiveness. The professor Daniel M. Abrams said that the more social the animal, the more the general population will trend toward one side. So because people are very social, there are going to be more people that are one, and in this case, right-handed. But did you know that more athletes are left-handed as opposed to the general population?
Oh, that's weird.
So among athletes, it's more than 11%. It doesn't say exactly how many percent. But it's because they're competitive. So being left-handed is a competitive advantage in many sports, including basketball and tennis and boxing.
Is that like because it's rare?
Yeah, because it's unusual. It's like it's harder to, like if you're playing basketball, it's harder to defend someone who's left-handed because they're going to be able to go to their left hand really well and you're used to people going to their right hand. Or if you're like a boxer, like if they hit really hard with their left hand, people aren't used to being hit with a left hand, they're used to being hit with a right hand harder, so they defend and dodge better.
Yeah.
So there's, have you guys heard of the movie Rocky? You've heard of that movie, right?
Yeah.
With Sylvester Stallone, really famous movie.
Is Rocky that left-handed?
Was in the very first part of it, like Rocky is left-handed. He's what's called in boxing a southpaw. Have you heard that before?
Sounds familiar.
Left-handed, lefties are called southpaws. That counts for boxers. It also counts for baseball pitchers.
We find that term very offensive.
And his trainer trains him to like to punch with his right hand, to like lead with his right hand. But then like halfway through like the big climactic fight at the end, his trainer yells, "Southpaw!" And he starts using his left hand and he like comes back.
Finally, a movie that's pro left-handed.
Yeah. And actually, so boxers have an advantage. Tennis players have an advantage because left-handed serves are harder to hit, supposedly.
That sounds about right.
You know,
I think that's true in ping pong, too. Like, it's harder to...
In tennis, you serve on the left.
So, like,
well,
in ping pong, you get used to hitting to someone's backhand. And I think it's the same in tennis, too. You get used to hitting to someone's backhand, but if you're left-handed, that's not your backhand, that's your forehand.
You know, I've heard some people say that, like, ooh, if you're left-handed, then your entire brain is switched in reverse. And, like, that I kind of have a hard time believing. But when people say, like, ooh, if you're left-handed, then it makes you 50% smarter, then, like, that's just, like, bullcrap.
Well, here's something interesting. They say there's a company that calls themselves Anything Left-Handed has an essential pack for lefties to help navigate through life. The pack includes left-handed general-purpose scissors. I was asking about that just the other day.
Can't you just swap around the scissors? Just
you know, scissors do have right hand and left hand. Like, they're easier to use if they're left-handed scissors if you're left-handed.
I've always been confused about that, actually. Like,
you can just
doesn't it work
turn
for both?
The scissors well, around.
It's not just that, though. It has to do with, like, the way that the blades cut.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I don't know.
They
maybe...
also have a left-handed can opener with geared rotary action, a left-handed swivel blade peeler, a T-patterned left-handed corkscrew with anti-clockwise screw.
I hate
it. A pack of 5 lead pencils printed in the left-hand direction. What? That seems
running
kind of
out of ideas.
How does that work?
I guess it's just so, like, when you're using it, I don't know, like, the writing appears differently to you.
I sure do hate right-handed corkscrew tools.
A 2-hold left-handed pencil sharpener. Have you ever, is that
how
ever
are
an
pencil
issue for
sharpeners
you?
Right-handed?
I guess it depends on which way, like with your left hand, you would twist it differently than you would with your right hand.
Would you? Yeah, I guess you would.
You would just turn to the other side once again.
I guess you would always, like...
I don't know.
Two more things. A clear plastic left-handed ruler with the...
What?
With the ruler scaled from left to right.
Oh.
A left-hander's notepad with the pages glued on the right so you can tear them off easily when writing left-handed.
I think this is going just a tiny bit too far.
Yeah.
All right, that was one story. I've got another story here. This one is from... also about International Left-Handed Day. This one is from the International Business Times. And they give a list of celebrities that are left-handed. Let me see if you know any of these people. Some of them
Ooh.
Are like... You guys don't know the same celebrities I do because you're younger. Most of your celebrities are like YouTube people.
I have a big issue with this, actually.
Here are some of the celebrities who are left-handed. Angelina Jolie.
Mm,
we talked about she's going to be in the Eternals movie.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. That's
Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, I know who that is, obviously.
Well, yeah.
She is left-handed. Tom Cruise is left-handed.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I know that is.
Jerry Seinfeld.
I know
from
who
your
that
favorite
is.
Animated movie.
Wait. Oh, yeah. You like jazz.
Justin Bieber.
Oh, you. No, next.
Nicole Kidman.
Don't know who that is.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, of course I know.
You know who he is, right?
Of course I know who he is.
Okay. Paul McCartney. Famously left-handed. He was in the Beatles, right? Played the bass. Played the bass in the Beatles, and he played the bass upside down.
He did?
Yep. Because he had a bass, or I think he had a left-handed bass. Sometimes left-handed guitar players will play their guitar upside down, or they'll have a left-handed guitar.
That's I'm not sure which way I would play the guitar, actually.
That's weird.
Yeah. Who else? Whoopi Goldberg, Pierce Brosnan, who was one of the James Bonds, Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
Robert De Niro, Owen Wilson, Ben Stiller, Eminem is left-handed. Julia Roberts, Jim Carrey, Lisa Kudrow, Lady Gaga, and Sylvester Stallone. I just mentioned Sylvester Stallone.
That is a very
so. Not
mixed
only was the
list.
Character left-handed, but he's left-handed in real life.
I know Bruce Willis is apparently like going super downhill, but he was still awesome in The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable.
Yeah.
Okay, so like my issue with this is like I've heard people like make these lists before, and Phoebe pointed this out to me a few years ago. Is that like you can name as many celebrities as you want. That are left-handed. Like, I think, like, not to flex, but, like, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Barack Obama. But the thing is, like...
Speaking of Barack Obama, a disproportionate number of U.S. presidents have been left-handed. Did
you
know that?
Weird.
But the thing is, like, there's still going to be a 90% of other famous people who are right-handed.
Yeah, but among presidents, though, there have been 8 left-handed presidents, which is more than you would expect for the population. Like, twice as many as you expect for the population.
I guess.
Because there
I don't know.
Been around
50
the presidents who are left-handed like... include, wait, Barack Obama, who we mentioned, James Garfield, Harry Truman, Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and Bill Clinton were all left-handed.
I feel like 8 is, like, not quite enough to convince me that there's, like, a, like, correlation there.
Yeah,
Bill
it
Gates
might not
is
be.
Left-handed.
Okay, that's actually awesome.
And his name is also Will.
The guitarist Jimi Hendrix, who's considered one of the greatest rock guitarists ever, was
so
left-handed.
Play it upside
left-handed.
Down?
He did play his guitar upside down sometimes.
Okay.
And then the scientists Albert Einstein, Marie Curie, Isaac Newton and Alan Turing were all left-handed.
I don't know who Alan Turing is.
Alan Turing
like one of the
was
famous
one of the inventors of a computer.
Oh, yeah.
He was famous
I know
for
he
the Turing machine.
He's like one of the famous mathematicians.
It was
one
basically
of the most famous
a calculator.
Yeah, you know what the Turing test is? It's like whether you can tell whether something is a machine or not. It's like a test to see how good artificial intelligence is. Mm. It's called the Turing test.
What is it?
It's like if you, it, if a computer gets good enough that it can pass the test, if you just ask it questions and it answers your questions, and you can't tell whether it's a computer or a person.
There's someone who made like a weird number one meme.
It's
that
called
was,
the Turing test.
There's someone who made like a weird number one meme that was actually based on like the Turing algorithms. It was like crazy complicated. But yeah.
So there was one other thing from this article I wanted to mention. And this is especially good for you.
Oh,
it turns out that left-handed people are more likely to pass their driving test the first time.
That I can kind of see.
According to a study commissioned by the AA Driving School in the United Kingdom.
I can kind of see that, because like everything's like arranged in particular ways.
Okay, usually
they had about a 10% better chance of passing their driving test the first time than right-handers.
Okay, maybe that's because people like their dominant hand is usually their dominant foot, which actually isn't true for me. I'm left footed, but maybe that's why.
It might be.
I mean, I'm
like, I'm trying to think. If you're driving a car, I don't know, like, that you really do that much more with your left hand, though, than your right hand. But
well,
yeah.
I think it'd be.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know if this is the same for all cars, but, like, the switch for the, like, turning signals is on the left side, I guess.
Yeah.
But also, there's a lot of really important stuff on the right side, so.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, it's like, I was just driving. It's on the left side.
It's one of those things I do without thinking about it, so, yeah. I guess
but, yeah,
that's right.
The thing is, like, I do feel like we're maybe slightly, like, over-glorifying left-handed people here, and, like, I feel like being left-handed doesn't really affect your life that much. Like, I think, like, the most people do is, like, you have those, like, couple, like, really cool moments where you'll be like, oh, hey, you're left-handed? I'm left-handed, too. Ah, cool.
Yeah.
There's a time when, like, in tennis, we're doing, like, rotations where people kept on getting swapped out and doing this, like, little tennis kind of, like, exercise game. And I remember, like, there was this one team of, like, three different people, including me, that were, like, all left-handed.
Yeah. Who wants to talk about their story?
I'll talk about mine.
Okay. Yours is a funny story. It made me laugh. Mom forwarded this story to me.
Bear falls on Northern California patrol car, causing crash fire.
It sounds
a
like
bear
a comedy routine.
Falls on a car.
Was this
someone's just driving their car,
and then a bear falls
on the car?
That would be a nightmare.
I mean, yeah, but also
give us the
like
details.
You're just driving the a bear just falls out of the sky.
Give us the details.
This article says they probably don't train people for this at the Sheriff's Academy.
I mean, maybe not.
A patrol car was struck by a falling bear in North Carolina. No, I keep on saying Carolina. It looks like Carolina. In Northern California last weekend, authorities say a Humboldt County Sheriff's deputy was driving on State Route 96 on August 3rd, answering a report of a drug overdose in the community of Orleans, when the bear fell or jumped onto the car, apparently from a steep embankment. So basically, like, they were, like, on a steep slope, and then they either just fell over or they jumped on.
And suddenly, there's just a bear on top of the car.
That is terrifying.
Not only did a bear hit them, but what happened after that, Henry?
The bear smashed the hood and the windshield. The patrol car hit an embankment, rolled onto its side, and burst into flames. The deputy managed to escape without serious injury.
It's like something that would happen in a movie. That doesn't seem like something that would actually
happen. And they
happen.
Escaped without serious injury.
They would escape with serious mental injury. I could not get that image out of my head for years.
A bear falls on your car. It smashes the hood. It smashes the windshield. The car flips over.
And then it lights on fire.
Bursts into flames.
Yeah. The fire was contained to about half an acre, but the car was gutted. However, the California Department of Transportation said, don't worry, the bear also fled the scene.
Wait, so the bear was on fire?
No, the bear ran away.
The bear fled the scene before
the
he...
The highway patrolman got out of the car, but the car itself was totally destroyed.
I can imagine, like, if they made a superhero called Bear Man, they made this be, like, this action sequence where he just falls onto the hood and explodes it.
That's just the weirdest, freakish accident I've ever heard of, I think.
This bear is, like, an action hero.
Well, if you jumped onto the car, then that's, like, extra amazing.
It's like
if that happened in a movie, I'd be like, that is so unrealistic, that would never happen in real life.
It's like the scene, like, in the first 10 minutes of Black Panther when he, like, drops out from the, like, plane and, like, sets all the bombs on the cars. Except this is just a bear falling from the sky. Is there like even any explanation bear. For it? Did they figure out why?
It was a
why?
Steep slope. So he was like on the steep slope and he's like, oh no, yeah, so I'm the falling. Car was so like, either fell over or he jumped on.
So I think the road was like beneath this kind of sheer cliff or like embankment.
Like this.
And it was just driving along and suddenly the bear fell from above onto the car.
I wonder if people were just used to this by now. Like they just looked up and saw a bear and they're like, oh no, not again.
I don't think anyone would be used to that.
Well, like, does this happen a lot in that area though?
I don't think so. I think this is very unusual.
Are people just like, oh no, that happens all the time?
No, that happens all the time. That's why a bear's on the flag.
I think the fact that it's so unusual is why it made a news story. It's not like it's something that happens every day.
That is so
but
weird.
But not only did the bear fall on it, it totally destroyed the car and started a forest fire because the
it
car
didn't
burst
start
into
a forest fire, really. It was contained to about half an acre, which is still a lot. But.
So I would say that this is like a butterfly effect, but like the thing about the butterfly effect is it's supposed to start out with something small, but this is just starting out with a bear falling from the sky.
Okay. Maybe it did, because we don't know what caused the bear to fall. Maybe it started with a butterfly flapping its wings in another state, and then that just, caused... A mosquito that caused a bird that caused
a bear to fall into a car and the car burnt.
This might be the weirdest reason yet for a California forest fire.
That is really strange.
Oh, that is so weird.
Very weird. You've got a cool story, William. You want to share your story?
Yes, this is actually a really cool story. In a first, man crosses English Channel on a hoverboard. I usually hate hoverboards because... Trends are
this
bad.
This is not your typical hoverboard, though.
This is an actual hoverboard.
This is like a flying machine.
So this was a French daredevil who spent years developing a jet-powered hoverboard zoomed across the English Channel on Sunday, fulfilling his quest after pulling off a tricky refueling maneuver that had cut short his first attempt 10 days ago.
Do you guys know what the English Channel is?
Yeah, it's like between England and... Yeah, between England and France?
Yep. It's the water that divides England and France. And at the very smallest portion of it, it's 22 miles across.
Yeah, he's
so, like,
going
sometimes
from...
people will swim the English Channel. It's like a really difficult thing to do.
He's going from Saint-Get? How
in
do you
France.
Pronounce that?
Probably Saint-Get. I'm not really sure.
He went from there to St. Margaret's Bay in Dover's, England. He's got off at 8:17 a.m. And apparently... landed 22 minutes later. So
can
he must
have been
going 60 miles per hour. And yeah, this is an actual flying machine. Like, it goes up like 100 feet in the air, maybe.
This is sort of like the equivalent of, like, when I was a kid, they always, like, on sci-fi movies, they'd always have, like, a jetpack. Except instead of a jetpack, it's like something he rides, and he rides it like way up high in the sky.
Imagine like if you got one of those, like, build your own rockets and you blasted that, then maybe.
It's kind of like that.
He might be as high as that. Like, maybe not even 100. Maybe, like, that high. Like,
that would be so scary to be, like, traveling over the ocean.
There's no just picture.
There is a picture. Like, just looking in the picture, I can't even, like, tell, like, what there is in the sky. It just looks like this weird, like, smudge. Like, I can't even tell what's going on. That's how high up he is. But it says, the indicators in the visor of his helmet showed he raced over the busy shipping lane at a speed of 100 to 105 miles per hour.
Yeah, can you imagine you're on a hoverboard and you're going 100 miles an hour high in the sky over the ocean?
It says he's doing zigzags as he neared
crazy.
The coast to try to ease the fatigue in his legs. This is something that would, like, terrify Spider-Man.
I found a picture.
You know what this reminds me of, though? It's the Green Goblin. This guy is the Green Goblin.
Okay, no, but this
he's
guy
like
actually,
a real life Green Goblin.
This guy is the opposite of the Green Goblin. This actually gets really inspirational halfway through.
Okay, wait.
But that's Green Goblin technology, though, right?
Basically.
Yeah.
So he says, like, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling happy, I'm feeling lucky. This is just an amazing moment for me. His name is Zapata.
Okay, one second. I found a picture. This looks amazing. It's like he has a backpack and a helmet, and then it looks like he's standing on a drone. Like, I'll show everyone.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
It's pretty cool. It basically was a drone.
Oh, that's what it's like. Oh, that is terrifying.
It's basically like you're riding a drone.
He's stepping on something the size of like... He's on something the size of like a pillow.
It's drone boots.
Yeah, isn't that just bizarre?
So cool.
It's maybe the size of like a cushion from a sofa. Like it's tiny.
And you're riding that like at 100 miles an hour, 100 feet in the air. It did. It's the first person who's ever done it. This is historic.
Oh, man. He said, okay, minutes after descending from the metal platform where he landed his craft, Zapata broke down in tears while talking on his phone to his 10-year-old son, who could be heard saying, Dad, you're the best. This like gets really inspirational.
He tried it once before and failed. This was his second attempt.
It says...
Wait, did he fall into the English Channel?
Yep.
It says he's a 40-year-old former jet ski champion. He made his first attempt on July 25th to coincide with the 110th anniversary of Louis Blériot's... I cannot pronounce any of this. Historic first crossing the channel by plane. So I guess he was on like a private jet. But it said he had to be fished from the water.
No, he was doing it on the anniversary of the first time someone had flown by plane over the English Channel.
Oh, okay.
So he was on his hoverboard trying to do it, but he failed in that attempt. He just wanted to do it on the anniversary of the first time someone had flown by plane over the English Channel.
It says, but he had to be fished from the water after failing to land on a boat to refuel. Yep. His backpack carries some 77 pounds of kerosene and... enough to keep him aloft for around 10 minutes.
That seems dangerous, too.
That's like 10 pounds less than I weigh.
It could explode.
So kerosene is like what was he using it for?
It was to fuel the hoverboard.
Oh, okay.
That was his fuel he was carrying on his back. But he ran out of fuel on his first attempt.
Imagine, like, I've tried wakeboarding and kneeboarding, and that's, like, the hardest thing in the world. Can you imagine trying to pull this off, like, floating on...
It'd be hard. It'd be tiring because you're carrying all that weight.
Floating on like a square that's like maybe 2 square feet.
But you're
and going 100 miles an hour.
It's like drone boots that you have. It looks kind of ridiculous,
it's
but that's
so crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
This is like actually going to be in history textbooks, maybe.
Yeah, it might.
This is like the inventor of the decade.
So this guy is Zapata.
Oh, Apata, that's how you pronounce it.
Or yeah, it's like a Spanish name.
This standard refueling boat was bigger and had a larger landing area. He said, asking if he considered himself the successor to the last one, Zapata told BFM Television, "It's not really comparable. He was one of the first men to fly. Let's just say I achieved my dream."
Wait, who? Who is he talking about?
The last person who just flew a plane over it.
Oh.
He said it's not comparable because he was one of the first men to fly. So, like, he said, "Let's just say I achieved my dream." Apparently, he was dyslexic and colorblind and left school when he was 16 years old, but he is determined to shine in international jet ski racing. This is, like, the most, like, stereotypically, like, inspiring story ever.
It is. This would make a good movie. I bet they'll make a movie out of it or something.
Okay, I feel I feel like his son wasn't saying the right things. Like, instead of saying, "Dad, you're the best," he should have said, like, something more than that. Like,
I think it's okay. If you ever want to say, "Dad, you're the best," I'll take it.
Not that many... I mean, people don't say, "Dad, you're the best" all the time. Like, just in movies, really.
But also, I feel like you should be freaking out more. Like, well, his dad just made history.
Could have been, like, in the line delivery. But
yeah, I'm sure he appreciated it when his son said that.
Yeah.
So there were helicopters flying with him, I guess, to make sure he was okay, like, to the side of him. Kind of watch him, monitor him.
This may be as terrifying as Man on a Wire, which we talked about a few podcasts ago.
Maybe even more so. Because it seems like I don't know. I guess they're both terrifying.
I guess at least here he's harnessed in, but also...
But also you can have a horrible wreck where like it goes out of control. And if you hit the water at that speed, you probably aren't going to survive it.
Thinking about either of these things just like makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It says... when he was in international jet ski racing, he couldn't distinguish between the yellow and the red buoys indicating the route on the right or left. And so he stayed in second or third place to follow the others until the last lap. Then he went all out to win. That actually sounds like a race from a movie. It says, "Stuntman, pilot, entrepreneur, inventor. I'm not sure what I am. A little bit of everything and nothing at the same time," Zapata said recently. It says he already holds the Guinness World Record for longest hoverboard flight, a 2.2-kilometer trip around the Mediterranean Sea in April 2016. He already did this for 2 kilometers. It says no Guinness adjudicator was on hand for the latest channel attempt, though a spokeswoman said he could have still been awarded for a new record if the trip met his guidelines. I feel like this is the type of thing where people are just like, you know what? We'll figure out some sort of world record that breaks. Like, that has to break
most
some
hoverboards
world
made.
It's so pretty cool.
That one time when you talked about, like, that person who, like, harnessed himself to a chair and just put balloons on it and just floated 100 feet.
This is, like, an upgrade.
Oh, like, this is cool because it's, like, actual technology in it.
Yeah.
He's, like, a real pioneer because No one's ever done this before.
Well, I'm wondering,
it's like his own thing. It's totally unique.
Yeah. Obviously, like arresting this person, putting them in jail would be like a crime against humanity and worse than like the ice cream thing.
I think he had permission though. I think like the French government and the British government had like given him permission to do this. So he wasn't like, doing this
I
was just thinking with the person with the,
like, this wasn't like a prank or anything.
Because with the person on the chair on balloons, they said that he would arrest him, but they didn't know what for.
Yeah. No, this guy, yes. If you're just doing that, I don't know, in your backyard, that could be bad. But this guy actually had, in fact, there was a few months ago, I think it was during like the Bastille Day celebration in France. They were having like a parade and he was like doing his hoverboard with like the president of France watching.
It's like, hey, crazy. French and British government, can I ride a hoverboard that I invented myself over the channel?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he like pulled up his phone and like was about to take a picture and he like dropped it all the way into the ocean?
Why would you try to take a picture?
Yeah. I've got one more story. This is just something that I saw on Twitter, but it's kind of a cool story. There's a woman named Mavan Babakar, and she posted on Twitter that she was, when she was a kid, when she was 5 years old, she was back in the 90s in a refugee camp. And that's where she lived, and she was a refugee in the Netherlands. The refugee camp was in the Netherlands. And Zwolle. And when she remembers that when she was in the refugee camp, there was this man who was really, really nice to her and bought her a bicycle. And so she posted that she would really like to meet this man again and thank him. And she put this post up on Twitter and it got 3,000 retweets, 3 news articles, and 1 video. And within 3 days, she had met the guy.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of a cool story. She says, her original post said, "Hi, Internet. This is a long shot, but I was a refugee for 5 years in the 90s. And this man," and she posted a picture, "who worked at the refugee camp, out of the kind of his heart, bought me a bike. My 5-year-old heart exploded with joy. I just want to know his name. Help." Apparently she had a picture, but she didn't know what his name was or how to get a hold of him. So everyone starts retweeting this and it goes out and she gets on news programs that get broadcasted. and she said she started hearing from other people who worked at the camp. She posted a picture of what she looked like when she was 5 years old. And then finally she has, there's this big long Twitter thread. She says, she posted that she's going to be able to meet him. She was driving her car to meet him. And finally, she posts a picture of them together. She says, "This is Egbert. He's been helping refugees since the 1990s. He was so happy to see me. He was proud that I've become a strong and brave woman. He said that that was his wish for me when I was small. He grows orchids. He has a beautiful family. He said it felt like I'd never left."
Okay, you know what, like, is actually awesome about this is like he remembered that specific person.
Oh yeah, from like totally all those years. And he says, "Yeah, I totally remember you."
Who posted this on Twitter?
This was the girl. So she was a girl when she was 5 years old.
Oh yeah, but who pushed this on Twitter?
Her name is Mavan Babakar, is what her name is. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but that's Dutch. Phonetically how it's spelled.
Okay.
I think she originally is from another country.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't say what country she's from.
I'm guessing
she was a refugee in the Netherlands.
I'm guessing it's European somehow.
I think somewhere like from the Middle East, like maybe Syria or someplace like that. And then she posts, "He thought the bike was too small a gesture to make a big fuss about, but he's really glad that it was the key to bring us together again." There's a picture of them together. He says he doesn't smile in photos, so we took a serious one together instead.
This is awesome. I feel like
I don't have the pictures. They didn't print out. But,
I feel like a while back we did like do some sort of story like a long time ago about like 2 different people getting reunited because of social media.
Yeah.
Oh, the Disneyland one.
Well, she has. No, here are the last 2 tweets. Okay. She says, "Thank you for joining me on this crazy 36-hour journey. We are now coming to its end. I am completely blown away by the love I have received online. The internet is what we make it. And finally, small actions have big consequences. The kindness, that Egbert and his family showed me will stay with me for a lifetime, and it continues to shape me as a person. That's the magical thing about kindness. It doesn't cost anything and changes the world one person at a time. Just a really cool story about like how people can actually help each other. And the other thing I like about this is, you know, Twitter and social media, they can do really bad things, but they can also do good things. It's just, and I think she makes this point, like it's what we make of it. Like in this case, Twitter or social media like helped bring her together with someone who was really kind to her 24 years ago. So it's not all bad. And sometimes people can choose to be good and choose to be kind. So I just like, thought that was a really cool story.
I feel like the segment we had like a kind of ridiculous story, then a really ridiculous story, then a kind of inspiring story, then a really inspiring story.
Yep.
That was a good like mix of stories.
Yeah. Let's do a segment. Let's play a game with Alexa.
Oh no. Shall we play a game?
Oh, love to. How about global thermonuclear war?
Sorry, so cheesy. I don't know that.
All right. Let's play a song quiz game. And this is a game you can play on your Amazon Echo. And you can play it by decades. But I think the most fair one will be if we do the 2010s. Because I don't really know modern pop music that well. You guys might know it better than I do. This is a game where they play a little bit of a clip from a song and you have to guess the artist. So, Alexa, let's play song quiz.
Okay, here's song quiz. How many people want to play song quiz?
Three.
You can say 1 to 4.
Three.
Choose a music decade. You can say 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. In 2010s.
2010s.
I'll play 7 short clips from the 2010s. Guess the song title or artist, or you can guess both for bonus points. If you need more time, just say repeat. Let's begin.
Oh, that's not the song.
Player 1, question 1 of 7, for 10 points. After the music stops, name the song title and artist.
What?
The song was Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson.
I knew that.
Your score is 0.
He gave me like 0
she
seconds.
She said seriously.
Question 1. For 10 points, name the song title and artist.
No idea. Sounds familiar, yeah.
The song was All of Me by John Legend.
Oh, wait, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Your score is 0.
Never mind.
Player 3. Question 1, for 10 points, name the song title and artist.
Welcome to my house. That was easy.
You got the title for 10 points. The song was My House by Flo Rida.
What?
Your score is 10.
Flo Rida.
Player 1,
My House.
Question 2, for 10 points, name the song title and artist.
Love me like you do.
Okay,
this makes no sense.
You got the title for 10 points. The song was Love Me Like You Do by Ellie Goulding. Your score is 10. Player 2, question 2, for 10 points. Name the song title and artist.
Where we began, though we started. Oh,
when I see you again.
Fast and Furious.
You got the title for 10 points.
Apparently.
The song was See You Again by Wiz Khalifa. Your score is 10.
It's kind of a
player meme. 3, question 2, for 10 points. Name the song title and artist.
Sorry by Justin Bieber.
Impressive.
That's an Snatched. Easy one. Everyone knows
you got
that.
The title and artist for 10 points plus an extra
it,
10 bonus
it,
points.
My
Your
turn.
Score is 30. Player 1, question 3, for 10 points.
Oh my gosh. Keep happy. Keep on saying the title.
You got the title for 10 points. The song was Happy by Pharrell Williams. Your score is 20.
Too easy.
Player 2, question 3, for 10 points.
Taylor Swift.
I don't think so.
It's Fight Song.
Neener, neener.
The song was Fight Song by Rachel Platten.
What?
Your score is 10.
I did Player not like
three,
that area.
Question music. 3 for 10 points.
Stressed Out by 21 Pilots. I'm getting the easy
You're
ones.
You're doing really well.
Kaboom! You got the title and artist for 10 points, like... plus an extra 10 bonus points. Your score is 50. Ooh, Player 1, question
us.
4, for 20 points.
Gosh dang it. I knew this one at some point.
The song was Don't Let Me Down by the Chainsmokers.
Oh, yeah.
Your score is 20. Player 2, question 4, for 20 points.
No idea.
Never heard that one.
The song was Billionaire by Travie McCoy. Your score is 10.
Nope.
Player 3, question 4, for 20 points.
I know this one.
All right, we're done.
Show up and dance with me. Oh, I hate this song. Wait.
What?
The song was Shut Up and Dance by Walk the Moon.
Well,
Walk the Moon.
Your score is
I knew that one.
Player 1.
And
question 5
know that one.
For 20 points.
This is 2010s, really? Dynamite by Teo Cruz. It's been too long.
Very good.
Kabam!
You got the title and artist for 20
points plus an extra 10 bonus points. Only 15% of players got the bonus points on that one.
How?
Okay.
Your score is 50. Player 2, question 5, for 20 points. Lonely once I was 11 years
old. Post Malone?
What?
I don't know.
Good
Just
guess.
A guess.
Oh. You're getting the bad
The song
ones.
Was 7 Years by Lucas Graham. Your score is 10. Player
so
3,
many.
Question 5, for 20
Memes
points.
Of that genre.
I'm just going to guess the title. Need You Now?
It's too generic to guess.
Oh, I got the title.
You got the title for 20 points. The song was Need You Now
that
by
like
Lady
about
Antebellum.
10 songs.
Oh, it's
Your
Lady
score
Antebellum.
Is 70. Player
like
1,
country.
Question 6. For 20 points.
Trash.
Sorry, I'm not sure I heard you correctly.
It had
Guess
a
pretty
again. Good beat.
I have no idea.
The song was Worth It by Fifth Harmony. Your score is 50. Player 2, question 6, for 20 points. And the suicide doors
are Look at me now. What? I have
Kendrick
got...
Lamar. It's my turn.
That is not Kendrick Lamar.
I don't know.
Even I know that's not Kendrick Lamar.
The song was Look at Me Now by Chris Brown.
Was
Your
Chris
score
Brown.
Is 10.
It was my turn.
Player
okay.
3,
yeah.
Question 6, for 20 points.
What do I stand for?
Sounds familiar.
At this point, I'm just guessing.
The song was Some Nights by Fun. Your score is 70.
Oh, fun.
It's time for the song quiz bonus round.
Some Nights.
Player 1, question 7, for 40 points.
with nothing in between.
I do not know.
I've heard that before.
I feel like I know a different segment of that song.
The song was Story of My Life by One Direction.
Oh.
Your score is 50. Yeah. Player 2, question 7, for 40 points.
When you move me.
Who even knows?
The song was Drive By Train. Your score is 10. Player 3, question 7, for 40 points.
Staring at the bus. What?
Oh, I know that song. I can't think of it, though.
Is that Weird Al? Sorry.
The song was Let Her Go by Passenger.
Oh, no.
Your score is 70.
That's actually a pretty good song.
Player 1 got 50 points. Player 2 got 10 points. Player 3 got 70 points.
Whoa.
Okay, I will say.
Way to go, Henry.
How many points did we get?
Alexa, stop.
So I will say, like, even though that was kind of painfully hard to get
through. That was pretty
much
a disaster. And if there's any of our listeners who, like, listen to a lot of pop music, they were probably, like, screaming at their phone or their radio. These people are idiots. They don't know any of these songs that everyone else knows.
I was going to say
that I should be more cultured and know more of these songs, but actually I'm good with not knowing all of these songs.
It would be good if you could, like, restrict it to a certain genre. Like,
ooh,
I think
indie.
I'd do better if you could do just, like, indie rock, yeah.
That's kind of a fun disaster, like, like watching, like, a terrible movie, not because it's so bad it's good, but just because, like, you try to see, like, if you can cringe through it.
You know what it's like? It's like, here's the metaphor I would use. It's like you're driving down a road and a bear falls on you and smashes your windshield and the car flips over and bursts into flames.
That too.
That was what it was like.
But, like, I will say, like, Alexa did do a good job of selecting songs that, like, were kind of both, like...
I think I've heard most of those songs.
I think
just
those
didn't
songs,
know the name of the song.
I think, to be fair, those songs did kind of represent, like, their own eras.
Yeah, well, they were all popular songs in this decade, but...
And
I just don't know
bad.
That many pop songs.
I feel like William got super... Or, like... I feel like William got, like, a mix of really easy and really hard songs, or just bad songs.
You got a couple of easy ones.
And then you got, like... ones that none of us recognize. And I got all the ones that everyone recognized.
Yeah. Sometimes that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast. And that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
For treat yourself, I was at the convenience store the other day, and I noticed some new snacks by the makers of Takis. There is something called Pop Jalapeno Cheddar Popcorn.
Okay. Okay.
There is Watts. They're like, they're kind of like, I think this is like Takis version of Flaming Hot Cheetos. But they're like in the shape of like lightning bolts.
Why would you need Flaming Hot Takis?
Yeah,
just tell me that.
They do sell those. Like, they
in
sell
two flavors. This is in cheese and lime flavored. Mm. And then there's one that is...
Taki flavor?
Fuego taco.
Yeah,
Taki flavor.
Here's the thing. So Watts look like they're kind of shaped like this one, like off-brand Takis. They're exactly like Takis, but they're kind of like...
They also
like kind of
look like they're shaped like the Flashes symbol.
So, like, there's a ripoff of Takis that are exactly like Takis, but, like, they have, like, a corkscrew
shape. But these are
shape.
These are by the makers of Takis.
And those are corkscrew shaped, too, so I almost want to say that this is, like, a ripoff of a ripoff.
It says
it's
from
Takis
the makers
flavored.
Of Takis. So it's
yeah.
Taki brand.
Taki flavored.
But it is, they are a puffed corn snack, so it's a little bit more, it's kind of like,
okay.
If it's a ripoff of anything, it's a ripoff of Flaming Hot Cheetos.
It's like Flaming Hot Cheetos, but...
But
with more flavor, I guess?
Before
I don't
we
know.
Decide whether it's a ripoff or whether it's good or delicious, I think we need to try them, taste them, and see what we think of them.
I'm guessing the Watts would be really good and the jalapeno cheddars would be like,
should we try
fine.
The jalapeno cheddar popcorn first?
Okay,
yes.
A little bit nervous about this one.
Yeah, so am I.
I think these are all going to be fairly spicy because Takis are pretty spicy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Takis are so good.
Yeah, they are. They have a nice flavor to them.
All right, I'm going to pass around... the jalapeno cheddar popcorn air popped pop. I'm going to mute the mics and we'll come back and let you know what we think. All right, what do we think of pop?
So, you know, Bean Boozled, it tastes like the throw-up flavor, but spicy.
Kind of, I guess.
Like, actually exactly like that.
That might be like a low meh, maybe a medium meh.
Meh. Gross.
M-E-H. Meh.
That's the first time giving a meh in a while. Gross?
Yes.
No, seriously?
That is so gross.
I think it's... I'm torn between meh and okay. I'm probably going to say meh also. It's extremely salty.
No, it's actually more like the rotten egg flavor of Bean Boozled.
But not but spicy. Terrible.
No, it's terrible.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of the flavor of Takis a little bit, but it's super salty.
I'm honestly slightly split between meh and disgusting.
All right, so we've got Lime Tornado and Fuego flavored Watts. Which one should we try first? Do lime tornado?
Lime tornado.
Yeah.
That like has like a less invasive flavor.
Probably. A little less likely to be super spicy.
Mm.
All right. Ooh, they're bright red. They look like flaming hot Cheetos.
I mean, maybe they just had extra Takis food coloring.
I don't know whether I like these or not.
That is weird.
They are really weird.
Some bites of it are pretty good. Some bites of it are pretty nasty.
It's sour and lime flavored.
Yeah, it's like,
really sour.
It's like Takis, but without the spiciness plus the corn taste.
Sometimes the sourness just doesn't work. Like,
and they
it tastes
are like
weird.
An unnaturally red color.
Yeah, sometimes it's a bit weird. I'll give it an okay.
Sometimes the weird, like, kind of, sometimes the weird kind of sour spiciness. Sometimes it just doesn't work, and sometimes the flavor tastes weird, and sometimes it actually tastes pretty good.
I can't decide if I like it or not. At first, I thought I liked it, and then the more I don't know. I'm all over the map on this one.
Maybe like a low okay, I don't know. I'm giving that a like anyone could even know that.
Like anyone can even know that.
Which I kind of agree with you, although I feel like I should decide what I like, if I like it or not.
Yeah, who even knows?
I don't know. I'm going to say it's meh.
Meh. M-E-H.
Because,
meh.
And I think where I am landing on meh is that I can't see myself like eating a whole bag of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes
it's just too bizarre.
Like, some of them are actually really good. Some of them are, like, they're both the same flavor. Sometimes if you bite into one, it tastes really good.
And at the
sometimes you bite into it, it'll taste kind of gross.
At the same time, I feel like if you crunched it up and put it over macaroni and cheese, it might be really delicious.
Yeah.
I don't know about
okay.
that.
Okay. Like Will's friend Ben once said, I like it, but I fear it.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good.
Now let's try the Fuego Watts. It's WATZ from the makers of Takis.
I'm not sure if I should be terrified or not.
It's also bright red, like.
I mean, of course it is.
Like atomic red.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I finally figured out what these things are like. They're like if you took those like little rice cakes that are like the crunchy like little discs. They're just made out of like I guess fried rice or like cooked rice or whatever, like oven baked. They're like if you took that and just covered it in like Takis powder and made it super spicy.
Yeah.
Okay, this one I actually kind of like.
Yeah, it's like a Takis,
like
but it has that weird
the,
corn flavor.
I like it better than the other ones for sure.
Yeah.
Better than the popcorn and better than the lime tornado ones. These, I don't know if I could eat a whole bag of them.
Yeah.
But you know what would be really good? If you dipped this in queso or nacho cheese,
yeah.
It would actually be really good.
That might actually be kind of good.
Wouldn't it be good?
I'll give it a high okay.
But on its own, I'm going to say it's okay.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree it's a high okay. It's like Takis, but without the crunch of it. And it also has the weird corn tang to
it.
You
gotta play the okay part.
Okay.
Alright, there we go.
Alright.
So, like, I feel like...
I kinda like these.
I feel like I'm slightly more positive towards them, just because the last two ones I have... Like, no idea what I just experienced.
I feel like it's something you could bring to a party just so everyone could try it.
Yeah. Or, like, put, like, aside among other things.
And if you dipped it in nacho cheese, I think it would actually be really delicious.
The last two were, like, the weirdest experience we've ever had on this episode of the podcast. And this is the same podcast where we talked about a bear falling from the sky.
Yeah, and a hoverboard.
So I feel like I'm, like, slightly more positive toward this third one. Because it's, like, I can actually tell what it is.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I don't know. It's clearly not something ever found in nature.
Yeah.
But it's still, I don't know. This one's actually kind of good. There's another one called Cheese Shock that I did not get that flavor. Maybe that's the best of all of them, but I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not super optimistic. I think they just need to, I think what makes it taste different is like, that kind of tastes like it's like oven-baked flour-based. I mean, oven-baked like rice.
It's whatever they do to Cheetos, you know?
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
It's puffed corn.
And like Takis are like tortilla chips technically. And I think that's what makes it taste different.
Yeah.
Yeah, Takis, they don't have that weird corn tang and they have that great crunch.
Yeah. So anyway, that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks boys for being on the podcast with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who is listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us at talktodadpodcast.com, where you can download all of our episodes. If you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. And two, you can give us a 5-star review. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, it helps us get the word out. And maybe other people will listen to the podcast as well. And that's really all we're doing this for, is to just kind of have a good time making a podcast and maybe having other people listen to it. So this has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.
There's time for later, alligator.